Welcome to another episode of This Is Ellie with the Lulligans. Mitch, Brad.
Hello.
Bird.
All right.
How we doing?
Feeling good.
You know why?
Winning.
Two wins in a row.
Winning, man.
If we get three, that's considered a streak, right?
We're seven points out of nine in the last three games against good teams. Well, Seattle aside.
Yeah, but I mean, we're competing.
Today, all three of us were talking about, you know, what we need in this next stretch of games, because we're still a couple points out of the playoff picture, but we're right there. I feel like we have to get all three this weekend against Vegas. I think we have to get all three in Tulsa when Tulsa comes to town, and I think we really, really have to get all three when we go to Fresno, and that leaves Sacramento, which is a tough team and a tough game. But again, if we can put together a few wins, then maybe we go on a little bit of a roll into that Sacramento game.
Well, and we've shown that we can go there and compete.
Right.
So it's not like...
And it's at home, so...
Yeah. So, you know, that's a game we can take.
They're the best team that we're going to play in the next handful, though.
Yeah, absolutely. And taking that a step further, too, as Matt and I were saying before you got here, if you want to be a playoff team, you have to beat playoff teams.
Yeah, I mean that's always been a problem for this team is I think we do have a tendency, or have in the past, to play up to our competition and play down to our competition, but yeah, we're to the point now where there's no more excuses. You have to beat some of the teams that are above you in the table.
I think either way, though, I think the way our team is right now is that they're always going to battle. They're always going to fight. Even if another team, like when Real Monarchs came here, they beat us 1-0, but they were beat at the end of the game. They were on their knees rejoicing for that 3 points because they knew they'd been in a scrap.
Yeah, and that goes back to something we've said every year of the team's existence is, I don't really care so much if we lose as long as we're fighting and we're in it. This team does not give up. This team is constantly pushing and striving. And so, yeah, I don't mind if we lose as long as we're taking it to a team.
Well, and as I'm sitting here, too, looking, you know, our goal differential is, what is that?
This is zero.
Yeah.
It's
zero. And that's, looking at the rest of
which, this time last year, it was like, what, negative 13?
Right.
2 months ago, we were at minus five. After we came back from L.A., having shipped six, I mean, we were minus five.
Yeah, you look at that, and suddenly it changes everything. And the teams in front of us, there's a couple negatives. There are a couple barely positives where, you know, in the past, that was not.
And
it
wasn't as bad. I would say to those people who say it's no different, that is one big difference.
Oh, it's a huge difference.
This team is keeping us in games. And before, I think we had good defenders. We've always had a problem of not scoring enough goals. But after a certain point in the season, they would just become so worn down from holding teams, the dam would break.
Right, right.
This year, the dam hasn't broken.
And in the past few games, we're scoring goals now.
Yes.
You know, we've got a couple two-goal games here in a row. That makes a world of difference.
Makes a big difference for our defenders.
I mean, hell, what was it, Saturday we went into halftime up 2-0?
Yeah.
When was the last time that happened?
Yeah, let's talk about Saturday. We didn't end up winning the game 2-0 against Sounders 2. As you mentioned, we were up 2-0 in the half, and I think we were all pretty comfortable. We were all, feeling good. Ant was not happy about how the second half went. But, I mean, that's good. Your coach should be looking for ways to improve. But luckily, we had a great first half, I think.
Yeah.
I think that one of our problems in previous seasons is we've never been able to close out a game. We've been ahead in games. You look at those, that Canada trip from last year when we went to Toronto and Ottawa. We had the lead going in the last 3-4 minutes. You know, we went down to Tampa. We were in the lead until the last couple of minutes. We've always had an issue closing out games. And that game against Seattle, they won the battle. Seattle won the battle in the second half, but we won the war.
Yeah.
And, massive save by Jake. Let's
yeah,
not...
penalty stop by Jake.
But I think that was always going to happen. They had nothing to lose. They were going to come at us. And we had maybe three or four chances on the break. But, had Jake not saved the penalty, we were in for a very nervy last couple of minutes. But
but I still think we would have closed that game out.
And in seasons past, we would not have closed that game
very,
out.
Very, very true. Seasons past, if we would have given up that goal, it would have snowballed. Let's mention Kyle Gregg, another goal. I mean, all the guy does is score. And Austin Ledbetter with a magnificent goal.
Good for him.
His first professional goal ever, and it was a nice one.
If the camera was anywhere else than where it was, that would have been the goal of the week.
It did not do that shot justice, the camera angle.
If it
could have been where we were from behind, where you saw that thing take off and curve, it was a great shot.
I thought, honestly, no disrespect to Austin, I thought Kyle Gregg scored it at first.
Yeah.
Because it was that good. And then...
Well, did you hear Austin talk about it after the game?
No.
He was kind of surprised it went in, too. He said the ball landed at my feet, and I turned and I hit it, and boom, it's in there.
You know what? If only there was some guy sat in a basement for the last 3 or 4 months saying, if you just shoot the ball, good things will happen.
Well, and like you said, all credit to Austin Ledbetter. That is the last guy I would have expected to nail that. And... boy, it was a perfect hit.
I was over at the beer stand when that happened, so I was actually off to the side behind our goal, talking to the beer guys at the time, just shooting the breeze, and we saw the play develop, and from where we were standing, I mean, it was literally straight in front of us.
Yeah.
And that ball went wide about 2 feet and came back to hit the post. I mean, that thing moved like a sumbitch.
I mean, he should have, after the game, said, of course I knew I was going to do that. I mean, that's how I do them all the time in practice. I don't know why coach isn't starting me every game.
And the way it just kissed the post to go in, I mean, it was such a strike that it was just... The beer guys and I just turned over like slack-drop, like, wow. And then when we found out it was Austin, it was even more surprising because that's what you expected out of Corey or Greg.
As I say, I honest to God, I thought Kyle Gregg scored. And then he celebrated right in front of me and Ewan. I'm like, that's Austin. But you know what? Shoot the ball, good things happen. And fair play to him, man. Fair play to him. Good for him. I mean, he's been on the team now for 2 years.
Yeah. He hasn't gotten a lot of playing time, but... he's gotten a few games recently with some injuries, and he's filled in nicely. And again, very happy for him, and he should be proud of that first professional goal. And
man of the match bucket.
Yeah, go get another one.
Yeah. And to be fair, he pounded that bucket, too.
Yeah, he did.
He did not play around.
The Luligans rewarded him for that shot. And there were a lot of guys out on the field that I think had a really good week, and it was kind of surprising. USL's Team of the Week came out this week. And we had no first teamers.
You know what?
Austin did make the bench.
You know what? Let's keep flying under that radar.
Yeah.
I'm okay. Let's keep flying under that radar. Because I think we've got, what, 2-3 games in hand over a lot of teams above us.
Yeah.
I think a lot of teams look at us all the way down there in the 10th, 11th, 12th and go, oh, yeah, that's shit. We can beat these guys.
We did crack into the USL's power rankings again, finally.
Meaningful power rankings.
Yes, we're 16th.
So keep flying under the radar. And I remember when we spoke to Thomas Gomez right after Sacramento, and he said, his buddy that plays for Sacramento said, we are a hard team to beat. And no matter what, whoever we play, they're in for a battle.
And I think, again, we talk a lot about the nature of the St. Louis team, the personality, the makeup, and how we want to be that blue-collar team. I think we finally got it. I think we've got guys that no matter what their reputation is or no matter what their seasons past were like, they come, they put in a shift, they work hard. And, you know, talking to a guy like Corey, he's not upset that he's not scoring goals. I mean, obviously he'd rather if he had a dozen goals in the bank right now, but he knows he's working and he knows it's paying off. And that's what we want. We want hard workers. We want, like Admat said, when the game's over, we want them to know they were in a battle.
And it's starting to show. I mean, you know, when we get into these games like Saturday, they come out hard and strong. They didn't let up.
Yeah.
You know, we said it earlier, they're not, you know, they're closing games out. They're going about the business, and it's rewarding. You kind of make your own luck in this league a lot of times, and we're seeing that tide kind of swing our way a little bit.
And as a testament to Ant and some of the things we've talked about in seasons past about, you know, the players have quit believing, they've quit buying in. These guys have stuck with Ant, and these guys, you know, have listened to him. Look, just keep doing what you're doing, and, you know, we're right there. And now we've had a couple goals fall, get a couple wins. I mean, and this can build on itself. So credit to Ant for the not only putting the team together, but keeping them involved, keeping them motivated and going in the same direction.
And the crowd was way into it Saturday.
Very good crowd. Still a little small, still only, you know, 4,100 or whatever. And I just got to think if we keep winning, it'll get back up to where it was, because it was a great crowd atmosphere-wise, and the park felt great. The park felt loud. But yeah, if we could pack another 1,000 in there, that would be even better.
I'm all for it. Let's keep this. And again, winning fixes all. I mean, we're really starting to see that firsthand through and through.
And now we've got Gimmick FC coming to town.
Yeah, and at the same time, if you're a St. Louis fan and you're not enjoying the last couple of games, well, you're just looking for something to bitch about, like Gimmick FC.
There's plenty to bitch about at Gimmick FC.
Yeah. What can we say about Las Vegas?
That hasn't
we
been
we
seen.
Owe them. That's what we can say. We
that is true.
Owe them.
Yeah, I think we were hard done by a little bit last time we were there.
Should've... We weren't hard done by at all. We were shit.
Well, yeah. Okay, that's probably a more accurate way to put it. We could have gotten the points last time because I don't think that Vegas team had much at all.
No,
they didn't offer much.
And we let them have that game.
It was probably our worst performance of the season. Truth be told, I think, you know, we've had a couple of bad results. I mean, we talked about the Galaxy 2 game where that kid rinsed us out. Phoenix, we got beat bad by, but they're a good team.
Yeah.
Vegas aren't a good team.
No.
You know, so we owe to show Vegas exactly what we are. I don't think we did ourselves any justice when we played them there, and they need to come here and we need to show them exactly what we are.
I also want to say it's a bit tone deaf on our team's part, the marketing department.
No.
You know, we got an email, season ticket holders, saying, you know, this week's game, blah blah blah, bring a friend, all that good stuff. But it said, come see, you know, former U.S. men's national team player Freddie Adu. Freddie Adu's done fuck all. I mean, when's the last time he was relevant in a soccer conversation?
Over a decade ago.
The thing about this game is it's against somebody who's right with us in the table, and we have a chance to move ahead. Market that. Market our team.
Should have come with a 10% discount coupon to Abyssal Vacuum.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. They're Gimmick
that's
FC.
That's a blocking.
Yeah.
They're Gimmick FC. If we're going to a game in Vegas, then yes, by all means, let's talk about the llamas. Let's talk about the weed coupons. Let's talk about the casino chips that the players can win. If, you know, there's a tons of gimmick things if we're in Vegas. We're in St. Louis. This is about soccer. Fuck Freddie Adu.
Well,
don't have to worry about him listening to this because he's blocked us on Twitter. So fuck him.
I just don't even get. Again, he hasn't been
relevant. He's been a non-factor for Vegas this year.
He's been a non-factor in soccer, period.
For several years.
I mean, if they signed Usain Bolt, okay, you know what? Advertise the world's fastest man coming because it's a gimmick.
He's going to Australia.
Yes, true. But I'm saying? I mean, like, if there's something like that, if it is, you know.
Freddie's not a hot selling item.
If Drogba actually traveled for Phoenix, you could say, hey, come check out Drogba.
Right.
Okay, fine. Freddie has no stake in American soccer.
And I want to emphasize, I'm not hating on Freddie. I wish him the best. God knows if I was 13 and somebody told me I was the next Pele, I would have ruined it too. I mean, that's a lot of pressure to put on a young man.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But let him be a soccer player. The best thing for Freddie Adu is for us to ignore him, because he could actually have a career in this league, but he's not lighting it up. It's not like he's out there making a difference
on the
field.
He's not even starting most of the time.
No.
I'm more worried about Sammy Ochoa than
exactly
Freddie Adu.
I'm worried about secondhand smoke with Chalice. If he's sitting up in the family section, there could be kids breathing in secondhand smoke.
You know, he's got to come back behind the corner.
That's right. That's the designated smoking area.
I would love it, actually, if that happened.
That would be funny. Halftime,
thing.
You see a guy in a suit hustling over to smoke a butt.
Probably getting a beer from the beer stand while he's there.
Yeah. So this will be a good game. They're right next to us in the table. I think we are a better team. I think we should handle the business pretty easily, but I thought that when we went to Vegas. So
I do think being home will make a
difference. But I will say this, and that Vegas game was, what, a month, 6 weeks ago now?
Yeah.
We're a different team right now.
Oh, no question.
The confidence is high. The injuries are coming back. We're a totally different we're in a totally different headspace than we were when we went to Vegas. And, you know, we didn't have a shot on goal.
Yeah.
So
this game should sell itself for anybody who's moderately aware of St. Louis FC and what's going on.
Well, and that's where it comes back to. That email wasn't for anybody that's moderately aware.
It was sent to season ticket holders.
Who? I thought it was...
No, that was just the season ticket holders.
I thought it was anybody that has bought a ticket that was in their system.
No, that was the season ticket holders.
Never mind.
Well, maybe it did also go to people, one-time buyers, but...
Because if it was like one-time buyers, then you could say, oh, remember when this used to happen? Yeah. Come, you know, play on the nostalgia.
Sure, Liz, you're always in danger when you market that. Because I remember, I think it was last year, they tried to market... Or they sent out a mass email that said, come see Joe Cole.
Yeah.
Joe Cole was injured and didn't travel. I mean, you're always, if you promise something, but if you market something that you're in no control over, then it's always liable to bite you in the ass. It's like, there's a bunch of Manchester United fans in Denver that bought tickets to go watch Zlatan and play the Rapids.
Right.
Well, he's suspended because he missed the All-Star game. Right. So there's hundreds of United fans who ended up just buying tickets to watch Colorado Rapids. You know, so I mean...
But you know what? Good. They should go watch the Colorado Rapids.
They should. And that is part of the problem.
No, but yeah, I mean, why? But that, I guess that's to my bigger point and my question, when was the last time Freddie Adu was relevant? Why are you selling it? Nobody gives a shit.
No, not at all. There is no point for his name to be anywhere near that.
But... you know what is going to be good for that Las Vegas game and maybe what they should have sold?
Us.
The tailgate party.
Oh, yeah.
The registers are taking over the tailgate for the Vegas game. And what's on the menu, Mitch?
Breakfast.
Breakfast for dinner.
I cannot wait.
So we're talking eggs and bacon and
pancakes. And sausage. I love breakfast.
It's going to be good. And the charity du jour this week will be the UMSL, UMSL Succeed Program. And this is a program that April is a big part of. And she works at UMSL. She works with this program. And it helps some people with different challenges earn some real-life assist or independent living skills. It gives them some educational credits at UMSL to get job skills. And it's just a great program that she's involved in, and we are more than happy to join this week with Charity du Jour.
And breakfast for dinner. Breakfast for dinner.
And breakfast for dinner. We've also got some more of the This Is Silly scarf pins and the stickers available at the Charity du Jour.
Pancakes probably soak up alcohol pretty well, too.
Yep, they do, and our friends Kirkwood Station have made another donation, so we'll be selling their empty cups at the tailgate party. And last week we brought in $490 for the Unsung
That's really
Heroes.
Good.
Yep.
And also thanks to everybody who brought school supplies for American Outlaws school supply drive. But our grand total for Charity du Jour year to date, $19,214.
Jesus.
We are going to break, if we don't break $20,000 this game, we will break it the next game.
It might be hard to get $800. I'd like to see us do it. I think we could. We have done it before.
But there are still enough games that I don't think 25,000 is out of our reach.
Oh, absolutely. So maybe we do a raffle item. I'm trying to think.
Probably not this weekend, but...
You don't think so?
Soon.
Okay.
Soon.
Because I was thinking I do have a couple things that we could possibly put up.
Let's...
former player equipment.
Well, maybe you think about it.
Okay. Well,
we might do that. If so, we'll announce it on Twitter.
Yes. That's a good place to announce it.
The
Twitter, because we're not banned on Twitter yet.
No, we are not banned on Twitter. So yeah, thanks everybody for donating to Charity du Jour, and keep it up. This weekend, the UMSL Succeed program will be our beneficiary.
That is awesome.
Let's talk about some news and notes from around the league. The USL league meetings were last week. A bit of news that has come out. The schedule will be lengthened to 33 weeks, but they're going to keep it at 34 games. Basically, trying to eliminate a few more of those Wednesday night games.
Best thing they can do.
Yeah.
More soccer spread out, always good for the fans.
Yes.
Wednesday games are awful.
No official word on the three conference alignment that we were hoping for.
We haven't been told, but you have to imagine it's because of the potential of the D3 teams going down.
It's got to be, because last year Jake Edwards said it in multiple quotes, multiple locations, that it was almost guaranteed for 2019. Well, now they've held up. I think they want to wait to see exactly how many teams are going to be in the league, because that will affect the schedule and everything. We know right now we've got, let's see, Austin Bold. They came out with their new name, Austin Bold.
That's a font. Even though I did hear one great line on Twitter today, is that we need a Boston team to be called Old.
Yeah.
So you have Austin Bold and Boston Old.
That would be good. So we've got Austin Bold, Birmingham Legion, El Paso still has not been named yet, Hartford Athletic,
Whalers,
Memphis, which they'll be announcing their branding very shortly, Loudoun County, which is basically the DC2 team, and New Mexico. So that's a total of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 teams that are being added to the league.
That have been announced, because there's still the conversation of like that Chicago team.
That, no, that's already 2020.
Or 2020, yeah. My bad.
Those are the only ones I think that we're going to see.
Okay, my bad.
Then leaving, we know Toronto 2 is out.
Thank God.
We know Cincy is out.
Thank God.
And there's hints that maybe
Seconded, Mitch.
There's hints that maybe Ottawa makes the bolt to the Canadian Premier League, so that could be a loss.
You got to figure Atlanta 2 would be one of the teams to go down.
Yeah, that's then there's just the speculation of which two teams go down. So we've heard Atlanta 2. We've heard Swope more from a they don't have the right size
infrastructure
stadium
thing
than anything. And we've heard Los Dos is considering going down.
You got to figure Seattle's probably considering it.
Seattle's just moved to Tacoma, though.
Oh, that's true.
Kind of building that hybrid.
That's true.
I would think Portland would be
would say Portland's more of a bet than Seattle.
Now, they could still do their thing in Boise. They've talked about doing the hybrid in Boise. That might make sense, too.
Brad and I both taking a drink at the same time. Bad for
pod.
Yeah, there was somebody else that I was thinking of that's probably going to... New York Red Bull's hard because they're competitive.
Yeah, and we'll get to more of this with our poll question of the week, where we talk about the MLS 2 teams a little bit more. But yeah, there are different criteria by which to measure success for those USL 2 teams or those MLS 2 teams. But we'll get to that in a little bit. But so the number of teams still in flux, the exact makeup of conferences still in flux. And I guess we really won't know until we get a little closer to what the league's actually going to look like in 2019.
Central.
I mean, it's easy either way. I mean, obviously for travel purposes and away days for us, the Central is perfect. If we're split in half again, you obviously want Indy and Memphis and Nashville and Louisville
and quite frankly for watch parties.
Oh yeah.
I'm
that said,
I'm 48. I can't make these 10 p.m. watch parties.
The quietest time in my house is 10 p.m.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So I prefer the destinations out west. I've made this point often.
I prefer them, but I can't afford them.
That's the other part, too.
I can afford to go to more if we're
Louisville
in the East.
And Indy is a whole lot cheaper to drive.
Oh, no, I understand. I mean, for destinations, for vacations and long weekends away, I mean, there's Charleston.
Yeah.
Maybe Charlotte would be a good time. But the slim pickings out east. Tampa Bay, yeah, I'll go with that.
That's one I'd like to do
yeah.
I'd like to see there. Because, I mean, the Rowdies are fairly historical. I'd like to see them from a soccer perspective. And Tampa Bay is a good place to go.
No, I'm all right with that. I forgot about them. I mean, it's obvious.
So just shut up, Bird. You don't know what you're talking about.
I want to go to Sacramento.
Shut up, dickhead.
I want to go to Sacramento.
Yeah, I would like to go to Sacramento,
we get
too.
A New Orleans team, maybe?
Well, but you know, they're in the D3 rumored list.
But it's easier to drive to the destinations out east.
Yeah.
And that's the be-all, end-all. For a physical get-yourself-to-the-games standpoint, the east is, especially the central is optimal, but east is better for us.
Yeah. Well, because if we do go back to the west, then, and we're looking at Swope going down,
Tulsa's our closest.
That makes Tulsa and Oklahoma our only two drivable ones. I mean, at least this year we had a couple trips to Kansas City.
They're going to do it to us. They're going to do it to us.
Who knows?
As soon as you said that, I just had this impending feeling of dread. Like, you know what? They're going
to
fuck us.
Some people have suggested we go to the Canadian Premier League for a year. You know, just really go off the board. That people have suggested we go independent, like Notre Dame.
We're the Harlem Globetrotters. We're the Cosmos.
For new markets coming in,
yeah,
I'd love to go to Albuquerque.
I can see doing that.
Or Austin.
I'd love to go to Austin.
Yeah. Oh, I'd love to do Austin.
So, I mean, there's pros and cons.
But those are still flying. You're not driving.
Yeah.
Well, Bird might drive. Bird's like, oh, we're going to Guadalajara. I'll drive.
Yeah.
I'm used to it.
But, I mean, again, I'm not gonna get too worried about it until we hear for sure. And even then, I'll bitch for a week. But, yeah, you got to do what you got to do. The only thing that hurts is they pretty much guaranteed this year we would have the Central after we were kind of screwed last year out of all the road trips that we thought we were going to get to go on.
That's not really a kind of screwing.
Well, I mean, nobody guaranteed we would be in the East. We just assumed we would be in the East.
I still think that the lack of rivalries hurts.
Oh, most definitely.
Like, big picture. I think it hurts this team as a whole.
It hurts us more than any other team in the league because we have bounced back and forth and we haven't got a routine.
You know, Cincy and Louisville have been able to develop a rivalry.
Yeah.
And granted, our playing didn't keep up, but...
No, but we've been in the league, you know, a couple years longer than Cincy and,
Even Indy. Indy's developed one.
Yeah.
You know, because they
haven't. We didn't get to play Indy this year. That hurts.
You know, the league has taken away a lot of marketing from our team doing this.
Yeah, just from St. Louis to make things fit. But what are you going to do?
They needed to give us some Tam and Gam.
Yeah. A bit of good news this week. Michael Cox has been cleared. He is training with the team as we speak.
That is awesome.
What position is he?
He's a forward, but I don't know. You know, he may play in the midfield too. I'm not sure.
With De Silva potentially going back to Orlando long term,
De Silva, yeah,
attacking player, beats a man, creative.
Right.
I'll be very disappointed.
And De Silva is back with Orlando. He returned. There was an article down there in the Orlando paper about him going back.
I don't think he listens, but I do hope he enjoyed his time here. And I very much enjoyed watching him play. I mean, he's only 20, right?
Yeah, he's a young kid. I think he did a great job. He fit well. And, if there's not a spot for him there in Orlando, I mean, O'Connor's going to look at him again, you know. He's got trouble there in Orlando, and he's trying to build something. And, you know, it's up to him. But I think James O'Connor will be happy that he played here, got some good quality minutes, and maybe he'll give him back for a couple games. I don't know. That would be ideal.
All that's out there on Michael Cox is at center forward, which is absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Why don't they just say striker or holding midfield or attacking midfielder or something? I hate how they do that. Forward. That's like five positions.
Yeah, isn't it?
Six.
I want to give a shout out to our friends at Sugarfire. They had the Luligan sandwich last game day. If you haven't had it, you should because it's amazing.
I think it's good luck.
It is good luck. And by that same token, Steve's Hot Dog was promoting the Luligan dog last week too.
Still have yet to have it.
It's got the jalapenos on it. I'm not a jalapeno guy, but
I will definitely have to pass.
But
on
I think I could order it without the jalapenos.
Yep.
Big shout out to Smoothie King. Corey Herzog does his game day smoothies out there, and it's worked the last couple times, so they're going to do it again. So watch Corey's Twitter feed to see where this Saturday's smoothies will be. Thanks to Kirkwood Station for always providing us not only a home for our away watch parties, but for their donations to our charity every week.
They have been a fantastic partner for this group.
Amazing.
Couldn't be happier.
And one last shout out before we get to some discussion and news and notes or poll question topics. How about Jimmy Big Flags?
Oh, my God.
Or should I say Jimmy Biggest Flags?
I think that's more appropriate now. Although he was saying he's going to be called Jimmy Big Arms.
There you go.
Because having to wave that thing is quite the exercise.
That thing was, I think it's 20 by 20. It is gigantic.
It looks like a spinnaker.
Well, and, I mean, it literally, you know, in some of those pictures, you know,
it looked like the entire section.
It blocked out at least half of the section at times.
It was ridiculous.
Somebody come from the other side of the field commented, "I thought it was photoshopped, but I was there. It was real." You know,
but you know what? We're not really able to do big TIFO because we can't. You know, we don't have the mechanics to do it. So that is a great solution.
Fair play
to Jimmy, man. That was magnificent.
It's worth telling the story about how this came about, too. Because Jimmy, he's been on the Big Flag campaign since he came
around. Yeah, all of his previous three Big Flags from the years
were great.
Yeah.
When we had all three of those up behind.
There's usually one of them there, and Ryan Grass has another Big Flag. So there's usually a couple of Big Flags. Well, he brought all three of those.
And the new one.
And Big Mama.
And so he, after Richmond put out their big flag, which was big.
Yeah.
I mean, I think theirs was like 15 by 15, something
like
that.
I don't know how big it is. I mean, it may be the same size. It's a big flag.
And so they bring it out, and Brad and I just get a message from Jimmy. I got to go bigger. it was literally about that short.
And it was like, you know, later that afternoon, here's the design. What do you think?
Yeah. Which, again, Jimmy's designs are always amazing. So it's like, dude, you could do whatever. Yeah.
So I order it, and then, like, the next day I get a message. Hey, we're going to need a bigger pole because the flagpoles he had wouldn't hold it.
That's the funniest part. Yeah. And then he was even saying that his holster that he has.
Yeah, he's got to get a new holster.
He's probably going to have to get a new holster for it because that's too big.
But what we did learn is that it's very heavy. It's very cumbersome.
It takes several people to carry.
And yes, if you think it's really awesome and you want to be a part of it, Jimmy will let you wave that flag because we need more people to take a shift because it is a workout.
It is huge. It is just amazing. The pictures from the other side of the field were really where you were. I mean, when it's in front of us and we're up in the stands, it's big, but it's 10 feet
it's
away.
It's the forest for the trees kind of thing.
Right. And then as soon as I saw the pictures from the other side, it was like, holy shit, that's massive.
And especially when the smoke is going and that big fucker's flying in and out.
That was ridiculous. How great is it that we get to light off smoke twice now?
Yeah.
I mean, we had flags, we had smoke. The drummers and capos were on it, as always. I mean, it's bad because...
The Gardner kids holding the two poles.
Yeah.
Kids screaming and yelling. I mean, it's bedlam, and I love it.
It's terrible because we don't give our drum corps and capos enough love, but it's because they're so good, and they're always so good.
Yeah.
That it's not that we're taking it for granted. It's just we know they're going to be awesome.
Yep.
I mean, look at us. It's August, and we're not depressed.
Yeah. Oh, also want to, from Saturday, too, we want to thank the Fort Leonard Wood Drummers came over and joined our drum corps.
Well, there you go.
For a couple songs. So that was pretty cool. They hung around from their game before the St. Louis FC match. Back to the charity du jour, we were able to hand the money directly to the guys from
Unsung Heroes.
Unsung Heroes, thank you. And they were slack-jawed at the amount. They had no idea it was going to be that much. They were figuring $70-$150 most.
Yes. They're very thankful.
So to do $500 or whatever it was,
yeah,
that's amazing. They were incredibly grateful.
Yeah. So got a few questions or comments if you guys want to go through those real quick.
Bring it.
Alexander Orr, hey, Orlando City, can De Silva stay on loan for the rest of the season? Yes.
Hope so.
That would be nice.
That would be amazing.
I know he's... Well, I know he's not here now. I know he is back in Orlando, and he'll be going through tape and things with his coaches down there. So I doubt we get him back right away. But, yeah, it's a possibility that he could come back, and I would love that.
Yeah, he's such an impact player.
Yeah. Stuart Hultgren said, Wall fall in the middle pairs so well with De Silva. See more De Silva love. He also wanted to give Ledbetter a shout-out. He's been filling in well at right back with Barden out.
Wallfall may be my MVP right now. It sucks that he missed so many games.
Pretty damn
good.
But
as soon as he comes into the game, as soon as he was back, the impact that he makes, unquestionable.
I think.
Well, and I think Tony Walls, too. I mean, again, him coming back has enabled some of the forward play to go through because he's another strong linchpin in the back.
Yeah, I mean, Austin wouldn't have been able to get up to take that ball if he didn't have Tony behind him.
Right.
I think Lewis needed that week off. I think he's come back a better player.
Yes. He had a much better game.
He was pinging passes left, right, and center on Saturday. He was so good, we might have to call him Lewis Marriott. with working on that all day.
Oh, dad joke.
I've been working on
dad
that all day.
Jokes.
I was going to say.
Working on that all day. You're welcome for that.
He's just been waiting to drop that.
Yeah. And if he plays any worse, he'll be Lewis Motel 6.
Yeah. Lewis Travelodge. Yeah.
Speaking of Lewis, his parents were in town this weekend, and they're going to be in town for a few more games. So, Hilton's, lots of love. We need you to come down in the corner or up to the tailgate before the game and have a little fun. We met Corey's parents, too, this weekend.
They're awesome. They yep. were a blast. First off, they did say they brought Corey down a couple cases of Yingling.
Right.
So he's prepared. Maybe that's why he's powered up. You know, he's
could
got
be.
The Yingling going.
Maybe he's dumping a Yingling into those smoothies.
Yeah, maybe. And, you know, I was standing there talking to him, showing him the tailgate, and I said, you know, we're so glad he's here. He's such a great player. You know, he's really an impact guy. And without even missing a beat, his dad goes, needs to start scoring from the run of play.
Oh, there you go.
They're like, oh, dad throwing heat at the sun.
Yeah.
He didn't even mince words. He's like, you know, the penalty kicks are great, but he needs to start scoring from the field.
Sometimes dads can say what we can't.
Yes. Maybe a little backhand if need be, too.
That's right.
I think Barden's parents are here, too.
Oh, well, there you go.
I think it's... I mean, if you're flying over, you've
this
got
is
three
a good
games
stretch, yeah.
in, three
yeah.
games in
no,
10
that's
days,
a good point.
So this is the time to come down.
Will Bramlett said he was talking with Darian at work, and he's loving our defense and goalkeeping and how the team never seems to give up. And he likes being able to talk about St. Louis FC during the workday now that he's working with Darian. So
seconded.
Yeah, I mean, again, the defense, it's like our drum corps. They're just always so good. You feel bad not mentioning it because you just know you can count on them.
Massive additions. I mean, Sam, we know what we were getting when Sam came back. But
Sam's been wearing that captain's armband, too, and it suits him.
Yes, it does. Nothing against Barden, but...
No.
But Sam just has that added level of confidence out there,
but
it seems.
What massive additions Sean, Fan, and Kyle have been.
Oh, my God, yes.
What absolute massive additions. That
all of them have been
stellar.
Great, yeah.
Stellar.
Culbertson's another one. You know, just... you don't see his name all the time. But it's because he's doing everything right.
That, and he's maybe not as interactive on social media, so people don't talk about him
as
much.
I meant more during the game.
No, but I mean, that's kind of why the fans maybe don't talk about him as much, because he's not that kind of guy. Same with Fan. Fan's kind of quiet. You know, Sean, obviously Sean's great on social media. He's great in person. But yeah, quietly, the other guys have stepped up huge. Everybody on that back line. And both, you know, Jake's had a couple of good games.
Jake getting shafted by not getting the goalie of the week.
Yeah.
Shutout and saving a PK.
I thought so, but.
I mean, that's.
Obviously, I'm biased.
Did Cincinnati vote for it?
No, but, you know, whose goalkeeper did get it this week?
Vegas.
Vegas.
Hmm.
That guy's a loose cannon, though.
Yeah.
That guy comes running out to midfield. Hopefully, we can burn him on that, because that would be hilarious to me.
I'd be all for that. Again, I'm all for embarrassing Las Vegas this week.
Spoke to Austin Martz before the game, and he's training well. He's like, give it another month, I might be ready.
Good.
He's itching. He is.
Oh
itching.
Yeah, he is. He totally is. But you know what? You can tell there's a little bounce in his step now. He can feel that he's close.
Yeah.
You could see it when he was walking through the line at the end of the game. He was pumped. He's up.
Well, and I mean. He's seeing what's going on the field. He wants to be a part of it.
Well, I think going to training now every day instead of going to rehab, he's feeling back part of the team.
He's in general pop. He's not in isolation. Chris Freeman says, it's the Pierre and Jake effect. Yes, I think Pierre, a big part of kind of what we've done here. Now it's our challenge to do it without him. And we do have the pieces there, but...
I think... Joey will step in alongside Walfall as the attacking threat in midfield.
Yeah.
And we'll probably have Lewis and Tony as holders. But I...
No doubt Pierre has helped. But you know...
Joey's still a good player.
How great was Joey last week on the pod, by the way?
Wasn't he fantastic? I mean, what an articulate, funny, personable dude he is.
Shrimp boat.
But anyway, any friend of Patrick Doody is going to be that kind of guy.
Yeah, you know he's a good dude.
Yeah. So
and on the field, I mean, we've known it. We saw him in Tulsa last year. Some of the stuff that he could do, Tulsa this year. You know that marvelous goal. He's had a couple of really standout games with us. And even the game, kind of like Corey, I think, you know, sometimes those players, if they're not scoring goals, it's easy to dismiss it and say they're not playing well, but he's doing a lot of stuff off the ball, and he can always score one.
But the thing is with Joey, I think Joey was brought in to score about 6 goals this year, bunch of assists.
Yeah.
He's already scored 4.
Yeah.
You know, he's way on pace to deliver what he's brought in to do.
Oh, I didn't mean to make that to sound like he's been disappointing.
No, I got your back, Joey. Don't worry.
But I think, you know, Joey is that kind of guy that also, you said it early in the season, Matt, that you think we're a better team with him out there. And I think that's true. But I also think it's that he can pull attention and open some other guys up. But he's able to score 2 or 3 goals any game. Now, absolutely, we just have to, you know, see it come to fruition a couple more times.
And I think that's been part of the problem too, is that for the longest time he didn't have Wall out there with him.
Definitely.
And you know, Wall is definitely that rising tide. They're
a dangerous combo.
Yeah.
And the same thing goes for Corey up top. You know, Wall makes everybody out there better.
If we can have,
and he makes more space for everybody.
Corey, Kyle, Joey, and Wall out there at the same time.
But you look at that Reno game, and I think Ant played it real well in the fact that he had De Silva out there for 60 minutes just wearing them out, especially with 10 men, and then to be able to throw Joey on.
Oh, yeah.
You know, who's a veteran pro, nuanced pro, to get you the goals you need. You know, to be able to bring on a horse like Joey just to finish off a team was stellar. So starting or off the bench, I think Joey's a top man.
Yep. No.
And it's easy to see why the Rustabouts loved him.
Oh, yeah, no question. Yeah.
David Sellenmeyer says, Fink is captain and Culbertson is pain for anyone playing on his side of the field. Yeah, both have been stellar.
Undoubted.
And final question before we get into our poll question was Michael Biedenstein. Don't know how to pronounce it. He wanted to know about if we'd heard anything about traffic and or parking with the PGA Championships going on this weekend. Talk to Jeremy. There, as far as right now goes, there are no road closings. There are no exit closings. The PGA should end around 8, so that will be after we've gotten into the park. And then hopefully by the time we get out, 9:30, most of that traffic will have moved on. If you don't know the parking shuttle situation for the PGA Championship at Belle Reve, they're parking there at the old Fenton Chrysler plant, which is right next door to Soccer Park, basically. So people will be parking there and taking shuttles to Belle Reve. I don't think it should interfere too much with us, but, you know, just give it a few extra minutes just to be sure.
I talked to a friend who drove by during a lot of that parking going on today.
Yeah.
And he said, it's nothing.
I mean, today is the practice round, so theoretically it could be different.
It was very crowded, he said. And that's the other thing, too. This, you're going to laugh, but evidently that lot is in such piss-poor shape that a lot of people are pissed off and will not park there again,
which
is good for us. I mean, but yeah, it sounds like every aspect of this, we shouldn't be affected at all.
We will, of course, be watching it Thursday and Friday when the tournament officially kicks off, and then Saturday, if we have any more updates, we will provide those via Twitter. So
I'll try to drive by and see how bad it is.
There you go. All right, let's talk about our poll question, gentlemen.
Our poll question is brought to you by...
Call Mark Gardner at Your Electric for all your residential and commercial electric needs. 314-814-3897.
How about that?
Fancy. I want to...
314-814-3897.
You make me laugh.
It's because you're just dawdling over there.
No,
so
I know.
So I'm filling the dead
air.
I know.
314-814-3897.
All right. The official poll question was, MLS 2 teams in the USL is always a hot topic. Early on, they helped grow the league and provide stability, but maybe they're no longer necessary. If you had the power, what would you do with the 2 teams? The poll included, move them all down to D3, let them all stay in D2, allow the hybrids to stay in D2, and allow the thriving ones to stay in D2. 42% of you think we should get rid of them all, move them down to D3. Second vote was allow the thriving ones to stay in D2. So
what was the percentage for that one?
29%.
What'd the hybrids get?
Hybrids got 20%, and only 9% of you wanted to see them all stay in D2. So Let's talk about it, guys. We've roundabout talked about these things before, but what are your thoughts on the twos in USL?
In my opinion, and I accept your point of view, Brad, that there are some two teams out there that have taken it very seriously, like the Red Bull, like Swope, like the Real Monarchs. But in my opinion, America is a big enough country to not have reserve teams in the second division.
Oh, no doubt. It is
so
big enough.
So, fuck off to D3.
Okay, so I'll go a different route. I like the hybrids.
Yeah.
Because I think it gives an opportunity to... we'll use Philadelphia.
Bethlehem.
Thank you. I couldn't remember what the name. I kept trying to go a different route.
The Steel.
But they're not in Philadelphia area proper. They're further away, and it gives
trying to create their own identity a little bit.
It gives them their own identity. If you took Swope and put them in
Wichita,
I'd be absolutely for it because. Yes, to steal Matt Bird's phrase, you're bringing the soccer to the people.
Yeah.
But it is bringing soccer to people that aren't getting it right now by a company, I guess, that has the money to spend on it.
Yeah. And personally, I would be the, you know, those that are thriving can stay. Obviously, Real Salt Lake takes it very seriously. The Red Bulls take it seriously. Swope take it seriously. Obviously, we've got... an issue with Swope because their stadium's not big enough. But Real Salt Lake built a stadium just for the Monarchs.
And I'm fine with that.
So,
counterpoint, you can't get pissed off then when a journalist calls this minor league soccer when you're having a de facto farm system.
Sure,
like
I can.
That.
Sure, I can. I mean, it's the
hell,
same.
Newcastle has been the farm system for.
No, but it's the same thing in Spain. They have Barcelona 1 and Barcelona 2. Germany, they have Bayern Munich 1 and Bayern Munich 2.
But not 40% of the second division is made up of second
team.
It's one or two.
And I think it's not a whole lot of them that take it seriously that belong in Division 2. That's why I'm saying when I say thrive, I mean they're thriving on the pitch, they're thriving off the pitch. Like Swope, I think Swope needs to do more to market that team, and maybe becoming a hybrid is how they do that. But I think there are metrics that could be in place to figure that out.
In a perfect world, though.
Perfect world, I'd want them all gone.
There's no reason why Wichita can't have their own professional independent club.
And I think, you know,
I know that's a perfect world, hypothetical speaking, but in a perfect world.
I'm going to tell Mitch right now, pull up the USL website and count how many full-on independent teams there are. How many are there? Is there enough for a league?
Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Quality radio, this guy's.
Well, I'm just trying to get to the point. Like maybe we're
is,
not.
Is Penn FC independent?
Yeah.
Okay, I couldn't for some reason. I knew they had an affiliation, but okay. So here, just in the East alone, here this is probably an easier way of saying it. In the East, there are 16 teams. And there is 12
independents.
It's more than that.
But whatever. There's enough to do it.
Oh, 14.
To do
I forgot
a full
Atlanta.
League without.
Yeah, and on the west side, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 7.
Okay,
7 out of 17.
And then you add the 5, 6 more that are coming in.
So right now you've got, let's just say, just for argument's
so
sake,
we could do it.
You've got 28 currently, which is plenty fine.
Yeah.
That's two 14-team conferences,
as it stands right now.
So yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe you get rid of them all.
And you bring in the 7 that are incoming.
Yeah.
You know, I'm absolutely fine with it. That being said, though, like it does hurt that if you are doing a two-team the hybrid way, they're going to get hurt, you know.
Well, but then you can, I mean, there's no rule that says you can't loan players to a different team. If Real Salt Lake says...
It's the owning and running is what it is.
No, I get that. Well, then you can put them in D3, and then, you know, if you want them to get time at the next level, you give them a loan spell. I mean, obviously, we're not going to solve it all today, and there's always exceptions to rules, but personally, I think there are less than 5 that are doing it justice.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, I can agree with that completely.
Then you have the the hybrid teams that at least I think are trying to establish their own brand. I mean, we can argue about they're just puppets for the MLS team, but at least they're trying to build a market outside of the main market that takes soccer to a new community.
And there are cities that are large enough to handle that, which, you know.
Oh, definitely. I mean,
Seattle, in theory, could set up their two team to be independent and still have 4,000 people there.
Well, but I'm just talking about, I mean.
I would even go so far as to say, set up your two team in Boise with the proviso that it's up for sale. And if someone wants to buy it, they can do it at fair market rate.
Well, and I think really.
And take the soccer to Boise, but. If someone wants to buy it, you know, and make it full
independent. Yeah, but then I don't see Portland investing right. in Boise.
I think really the ultimate problem, it isn't necessarily with the two teams and or the hybrid teams going for it. I think the problem is that it's the roster moves. I think that is the be-all, end-all of the discrediting of this.
That came up several times in the discussion, and I am going to read some of the points that people made, but that needs to happen regardless. We need to make limits on how many, you know, when you're bringing in eight players for one game, that's not fair.
Jeremy and I were talking before Saturday, and I said, you know, how many guys came down from the parent club?
Yeah, for Seattle, right.
And he said it was like two or three. Yeah. And he says, I'll be honest with you, it's going to happen every game against a two team from here on out. That as the MLS season progresses, they want to keep those guys in game shape and they want to keep them going. So we're going to see it every game that it's going to be probably two to five.
So Atlanta 2 send down six guys next year when they're in D3 and absolutely smash Tormenta FC in South Carolina. I mean, that serves even no purpose whatsoever.
Right. And I that's what I'm saying, regardless of whether they go D3,
it has to happen either way.
They have to make rules on the wholesale roster changes that happen, because again, we've talked about it as a competitive balance issue. If okay, we're in the West and Tulsa's in the West, and say we're both gunning for that last playoff spot and we both play Portland,
but they're two completely different teams.
And Portland, maybe we face Portland's entire MLS second string and they face Portland's, you know, 15-year-olds. That's not fair because we're not playing the same team.
No, the competitive balance is completely upset.
So I think the rules committee has to address that first and foremost before we do anything.
And I have no problem if you're sending a guy down for a rehab stint or, you know.
I think it's got to be a number. You can't do more than, you know, three at a time, and you can't do a one-game loan. Maybe you have to send them down for 2 weeks at a time.
I think that's fair. You know, no more than three, and single players are the only ones that can come down for one game. If you send down more than one, they have to stay for two games.
Yeah, or they count against your roster somehow. You know, there's got to be a penalty if you abuse it too. So, I don't know. Let me read through some of the viewer or listener questions or responses, and we can talk about those. Amir said, choice to create a relegation system in the lower leagues. We know they're talking about that. That would solve a lot of the problems if you just say, okay, we're going to throw all the MLS 2 teams down to Division 3, and if there is promotion and relegation between D2 and D3, they'll find their spot.
But then the problem is with that, though, is that you can end up in the exact same situation we're in right now.
Well, sure. Yeah,
but no. at least they're in the spot on the pitch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Flores said he likes the hybrids, like Bethlehem Steel, seem to be drawing halfway decent and are held in a decent venue. Stewart responded with, yeah, but the Steel don't have lights in their stadium, so they can't play night games, which leads to the midweek, midday things that we hate. So, yeah. I think D2, you are going to have to spend a certain amount on your stadium and get it up to snuff.
There's got to be a standardization.
Yeah.
But then again, then come the baseball fields.
Exactly. Maybe that's what, if we just threw all the guys with baseball fields into D3, that might take care of our problem.
We're going to have like an 8-lead.
Yeah. No shit. Phil Groom said, let stadium size and pro requirements decide. That's kind of why we're in the spot we're in right now. Talk to the NASL guys about that.
No shit.
I think they're trying to do that. He says the Monarchs deserve to stay. SPR needs to get out. You're going to have a hard time convincing me that we deserve to be in D2 and Swope Park doesn't.
It doesn't happen.
I think Swope was put into an ugly situation this year because the league approved one field but then disapproved it. I don't think that's Swope's fault. I think Swope should spend more to upgrade Swope Park so they can actually play after where the place they're named.
Or a facility, or a similar facility.
Because
a high school stadium.
Opening Children's Mercy has got to be just killing them. I mean, financially.
Hooray.
But you can't argue that Swope hasn't been...
They've taken it seriously.
They've been in a championship.
Two times Western Conference
right,
champions.
So I'm not going to make any snide comments about they don't belong here. This is Brian Cook from Indianapolis. He said he thinks it helps D3. It gives an option for the TFCs to move down. But he was the first one to bring up in our discussions. He'd put more restriction on what players can be moved. I think that's
going to be mandatory, irrelevant of the two-team discussion.
Right.
It's got to happen because it's been rife for abuse. Honestly, it's about easily as abused as the future TAM money situation with Cincinnati. I mean, they're, we can do whatever we want, then we're just going to do whatever we want.
Well, yeah, I mean, literally, there's nothing stopping Los Angeles Galaxy from sending Zlatan down to play with LA Galaxy 2 every game.
Yeah.
And that's, you've got a $2 million or however many millions he's getting paid a year playing in USL.
Their attendance would go up.
That's true. Harry from San Antonio mentioned, yeah.
Fair play, Harry. He listens every week. He's a good follower on Twitter. He's very passionate about the league.
He listens to a lot of podcasts. He's probably one of the most knowledgeable fans just because he listens to a bunch of media. Because
he listens to us. That's why he's knowledgeable.
Oh, well, that's true. he's always on top of what's going on. But he says, how can you do that to a team like Real Monarchs who – have built their own 5,000 seat stadium downtown. I agree. It's something we need to look at.
And again, that's why I don't have a problem with the hybrids, because if you're doing it right, then fair play.
Yep.
Where did the Monarchs, how far away from the mothership did the Monarchs play?
I don't know. I think for some reason I'm thinking it's on a state fairgrounds, but I don't know.
I think it is too.
Mitch, maybe you can look it up.
I just think he's out in the suburbs somewhere, like, I don't know, maybe Sandy. Sandy's where the big club is.
Might work if it's not near the main stadium. I think Rapids is in Sandy, right?
Rio Tinto.
Rio Tinto is in Sandy, which is outside of Real Salt Lake.
My knowledge of Utah is slim to none.
I just know if you went there, you'd have more help at home.
I spent my 30th birthday in Brigham City, Utah. Wow. That was a fun time.
It's 21 minutes away from the big club.
Oh, see that? Yeah, that's probably not far enough, but no. I don't know what they're drawing either.
I tried looking it up, but there's no good figures.
Sinjun Wilkerson says, let the teams decide what's best for them. Don't force Monarchs to play in the same league as TFC2. That's essentially where we're at right now. The teams are going to decide what's best for them.
Well, maybe that's the thing. Maybe next
year. But
that's
not necessarily what's best for the league.
Maybe next year you let them figure it out, and then the year after you can make a better educated decision.
Yeah.
But you've got like Toronto too, right now, getting slammed every game.
And drawing 50 people.
In other cities.
If they do drop down, say, to the D3 regional league in the Northeast, and they start winning, that could only benefit them.
Yeah.
I mean, that could really only benefit them. Because right now I see no net gains that they're getting out of this league.
Well, and the other part of this that I don't think we've mentioned, at least recently on the pod, is this agreement with USL and MLS where every MLS team has to field a team in USL, it's about to expire.
Thank God.
Well, first, thank God it happened.
No, absolutely.
I agree.
Because it helped the league.
It did a lot good. But we've grown past that.
But maybe we are to the point where we don't need that anymore. And then maybe Toronto decides, you know what, we're going to put our B team in the Canadian League.
Sure.
Or maybe a team like Minnesota, who we know has to be getting fined because they don't have an affiliate team or
they could
a
have
two
an,
team.
They could have an affiliation with Winnipeg.
Or they they could decide we don't need it. We don't want to put money into a B team.
Because I still maintain, how cost-effective is it to pay a roster of 22 USL guys, coaches, physios, a manager, flights, hotels for an entire season, just on the off chance that maybe one or two of them go up to play for the MLS team?
But don't a lot of teams across the world do that? I mean, they pay for all that with the hopes they can sell one or two.
Well, I think that's where the geographic nature of the US being so big is the drawback. Because yes, Hull and Manchester United reserves will play each other, but it's 150 miles.
Yeah. But I mean, but then maybe some teams just decide they don't want to do it. Maybe some teams decide, you know what? I mean, we know a lot of teams already have an NPSL or a UPSL team. Maybe they say we're going to stick our kids there, and then we'll, as a stopgap, we'll loan players here and there. I mean, maybe just letting the agreement expire will kind of let things sort itself out a little bit.
You have to think so, because Chicago and Tulsa are affiliated right now. But let's say Chicago need to get time for a left back, and Tulsa's got three stellar left backs already.
Well, they can call us, yeah.
Yeah, they can call us, or they can call Louisville or wherever. Right. You know, you can individually find fits for different people. If, for example, you've got a very attractive, technically gifted, ball-playing attacking midfielder, and your affiliate team is... Sorry, Tulsa again.
Right.
You may not want him to go down there and play hoofball with Tulsa. You may want him to go to Sacramento, where they're going to play the ball on the deck. You know, so you've got a lot more options, even if they do go away, to loan individual places on a case-by-case basis.
Well, and if you do have that, you know, reserve team, be it, you know, an NPSL team, PDL team for the young guys.
Yeah.
You know, that's the other thing. You can still drop a PDL team of your kids down if you need to. But, you know, you can have the kids, you know, I don't want to call them academy kids, but for lack of a better word, an academy kid in one of those lower divisions, you can loan out the tweeners to a St. Louis, to a Tulsa.
I do also like to, I want to see what they do with it this year. We'll see how many teams, you know, quote unquote, self-regulate or relegate. If whatever happens next year looks better, then maybe it's going to sort itself out. Maybe there won't have to be a rule. But, yeah, I think you know, water finds its own level. And teams that don't...
Not in U.S. soccer, it doesn't.
Well, but teams...
There's heavy-handedness.
Teams that don't want to spend a lot of money will choose to go the D3 route. Or no route at all. Teams that want to spend the money, like New York Red Bulls, who... You know, they like this model. They like... Now, they're not showing it in attendance and things, and we need to...
But on the pitch...
On the pitch, they're doing the business. Same with Swope. Maybe USL needs to step in and say, okay, in addition to the professional matrix we want you to hit, where, you know, you're putting this much into player development, you're putting this much into... You have to have a 5,000-seat stadium. Now you also have to market that 5,000-seat stadium, or you have to... Do some incentives to get people there.
Even if they're giving tickets away to season ticket holders or something to get the people out.
And some of the clubs do, and that's still not enough, but they have to do some incentivizing to get it looking professional environment-wise.
They've got to do something with it.
MLS have got to get their own butts in seats, let alone in
That's a good point. Zach Young, move them down to D3 and allow USL to promote relegate with MLS.
I agree, Zach. Atta boy.
If only it were that easy.
Zach's got it, man.
But again, part of that problem is MLS is... Their structure is so different from USL. There's going to have to be some work done before we get to that point. I think, honestly, the experiment of USL promoting between D2 and D3... I think that's a necessary first step, just to try it out, just to show how it could work. And I think that would be the most valuable first step.
I think that would be wildly popular.
I think it would be too. David Valentin, our friend down in Orlando, he says D3 if it's in the same town and D2 if not. That's kind of the hybrid situation. I think his point is things like New York, if your A team and your B team play in the same stadium, you know, you're not going to get a lot of new faces out to the B team.
Yeah, because we've always said, you know, if you've only got $20 to spend on soccer a weekend, you're going to go to the mothership, exactly. Not the reserve team.
Or even time. I mean,
yeah.
So, yeah, I that's kind of like why I like the hybrids, because theoretically they're appealing to a different market. And it, to me, it makes sense for the mothership, too, because they're expanding their brand to a new market, whereas... You know, if I live in Wichita, maybe I'm not a Sporting Kansas City fan, but if my team is the B team, that gives me some incentive to root for the A team, too. Pat Houlihan, I feel they are better in D3 based on the current standard of play in the league. I say move them down to D3 and experiment with Pro Rel. I'd agree with you, Pat, but there are some that... are playing at a much higher standard than D3. I mean, and then Soccer Prime responded to that. Yeah, D3 is too low for teams like Red Bulls to Monarchs. I mean, you'll notice as you listen to this conversation, we're mentioning the same three or four D2s.
Yeah, because it's the D2 same teams ones taking it seriously.
Right, and that's kind of what I'm saying. Like, those guys kind of have proven they belong here. The rest of them haven't. So again, we'll see this coming season who chooses to go down to D3 and how that works out. I'm sure there will be a few that we will disagree with and say, no, you need to, you know, somebody needs to tell you to go down to D3 if you're not going to tell yourself. But I don't know. I think we've got to give a few of them a little more time to work it out off the field.
But again, we can take next year, let them figure it out. Let, you know, okay. You've got D3. It's an option for you. And if the year after we say, okay, we gave you a choice, you're not doing it, get out. You can make that a whole lot easier.
Well, yeah, and I think, again, it also comes into play. How many more teams are we bringing in? If we're bringing in four more markets, you know, it gets harder and harder to add teams to a gigantic league. And I think Stuart was the one that made the point, you know, he doesn't want Swope staying in at the expense of a new market that could come in, like a New Orleans or whatever.
True.
So maybe then we start to manually remove them.
And that's the other thing, too, is that, you know, after a year in D3, you know, let's say it's Des Moines, for example. Let's say they go in D3, they kill it in D3, and they're like, you know what,
maybe attendance is better than they thought. All their metrics are being met,
exceeded. You know, maybe they say, you know what, maybe we need to go up to D2. You know, again, that's somebody else that needs to come in. And the number was another great thing. You know, we're bringing in 7 next year. If all these teams stay up, you're looking at a 40 team league in a couple of years. Yeah. You know, 50 team league in a couple of years at this rate.
Yeah.
You have to do something
America's,
at that point in time.
America's big enough for it, though.
Yes, it is.
And as of right now, we know Nashville will be leaving us in the next couple of years to go up. You figure at least one more USL team will get the nod to go up. But MLS isn't expanding as fast as USL is.
No, it's a price reduction there.
And, well, there's that, and there's, you know, it fits more markets. But, yeah, it starts to become a math thing where – we don't have room for everybody that wants to be at D2 even.
Which, I mean, maybe we see, you know, a Harrisburg drop down.
Yeah.
You know, some of that, the market will correct itself.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good point. We've talked about MLS 2 teams that may choose to self-relegate. There might be some independents that choose to self-relegate. We've heard if Rochester comes back, they're going to be a D3. A Harrisburg is another team that might be on that bubble of they got in when the league was a much different place.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The budget wasn't what it is now. So it'll be interesting to see how...
Here we go. This is how it's going to go.
All right.
We're going to go in the West next year.
Okay.
But Tulsa's going to go D3, our nearest game. Like 8 hours drive away.
God damn it.
And right now, the Tulsa fans are saying, fuck you guys. We made the playoffs last year. Yeah. You haven't done shit. Maybe you're going D3.
I would not be able to answer.
Yeah. I've got no comeback. I got nothing. Sorry.
Except at the end of this year, we'll be able to brag about our playoffs.
You best knock on wood, son.
You got any wood in this house?
A lot of plywood. Yeah, that's actually wood.
Okay. So, yeah, I don't know. Fun discussion. Obviously, we are not paid to make these decisions for everyone, or else we would have fixed it a long time ago.
Because we obviously know what we're talking about.
I think in the end, we're going to have to see how these teams do it themselves and if it works.
Actually, I just came up with the best answer.
Okay.
They all bribe us, and we make the decisions.
Oh, we'd fix U.S. soccer in an evening.
Yeah.
I'd be like Chuck Blazer in my apartment for cats.
It'd be an apartment for a dog for me. That's right. We'll make this happen that way. That's the easiest way.
I'll do it for half of what he was charging.
You know, Philadelphia comes in with a couple cases of Yingling. Okay, well, we're hearing you out,
Obviously, you've made a good case.
Yes, it's like, I'm listening to you.
I don't know. It's fun to sit around and talk about soccer.
Always.
But
winning soccer.
That's the winning best soccer. Part. This has been a happy podcast.
That's right.
There's very little bad to take away from Saturday.
No, like I said, if you're not enjoying these last few games and since St. Louis
kiss my ass.
St. Louis winning games, I don't know what to do for you.
I mean, considering we're plastic with no history, I think we're doing all right.
I think so.
But again, I will take it because this is wonderful. This is just, we're almost going to have a winning streak.
That's right.
I think
have we won three in a row before? I was trying to think about it a few minutes ago.
We'll have to ask Ryan Grass, the stats guy.
Yeah.
I
don't think so either. I can't remember. I know
we haven't lost a game in three games. We've had a lossless streak that includes, a couple draws, but I don't know if we've ever won three in a row.
I can't think of any time that we have.
All right. If you're listening, Ryan, please.
Ryan or Stewart's going to know the answer to that one.
Please help us out.
I know that. That's not even a question. One of those two will have the answer for us. We've lost three in a row.
I know that. we've gone 12 without a win. I know that much.
Wow.
We've got a lot of dark streaks, but we don't have a lot of light streaks.
A lot of dark streaks in my underpants.
Yes, exactly. I knew that.
You know what? I tell you what. If another team had gone through what we'd done, there'd be no one in the stands. And it's a testament to the St. Louis FC fans
Not just the corner. There a lot of fans have
in general stuck with it. I mean, it is a good time and it is our team and it is what it is, but we're still there.
We've seen a lot of depressing soccer. They're our team.
And you know what? If we win on Saturday, we get on a bounce and we start moving up the table, no one deserves it more than us, I'm telling you.
That's the truth. And I think also if we get on a three-game winning streak, I think that bus from Schlafly will be very well populated.
And we have to win Saturday because we've got a lot of tough games coming up, guys.
Yes.
I mean, we've still got to go to Phoenix. We've still got to go to Fresno. We've still got to go Real Monarchs. We've got San Antonio coming. We've got Sacramento coming here. We've got to go to Swope. They're not easy.
Yeah.
I mean, we're playing okay.
Yeah.
And kudos to the guys for that.
But we got to keep doing it.
We got to keep doing it because the next 2 months is going to be rough.
And I like the fact that we're going to start controlling our own destiny here.
Yep.
Because if we win the two games in hand, we go up to sixth.
Yep.
And I know that's a lot of ifs and coulds and woulds, but we are in control of our own destiny.
That's where we want to be. And I do want to mention that obviously this weekend the Premier League starts back up. I know a lot of people are very excited about that, and I am as well. I like getting up early on Saturday mornings and Sunday mornings and watching games. But I do want to encourage you, if you've got friends who get up early and watch those games and they haven't been to a St. Louis FC game, bring them along. Just extend your soccer Saturday a little longer. Come out and enjoy live soccer. No, I'm not going to lie to you. The quality on the field is not that of the Premier League. But
I don't know. I'm a Newcastle fan.
But then again, neither's the Belgian league, and they get 30,000 a game. So
and it's different. It's live. It's your team. I mean, Matt and I have been talking about this for years. That as much as I enjoy watching Arsenal play, it has become an afterthought to the St. Louis FC game.
Because this is our team.
It's our team. And there's nothing like having your own local team to support.
It's our town. It's representative of
us. It's representing our city where we live.
You know, so, you have to wear that badge with pride.
So and we've all got friends. We've all got friends who only watch on TV. Let them know soccer is more than a TV show.
I don't know if I do anymore.
No.
I think I've unfriended most of them. I think I've proselytized
but,
too much.
But when you're going to the Amsterdam early morning, you know, wear your St. Louis FC shirt or wear a Luligan shirt or, you know, talk it up. Let people know. Just, you know, because we do still find people from time to time that don't know the team exists. So,
which I still don't get.
But just be a supporter.
Be a supporter.
Yeah. I think this, a little slow today.
I think there's guys, people out there that don't, that do know about the team, but just don't know how good of a time it is. They don't know.
They equate it to the Rascals and the Grizzlies.
They equate it to Bordeaux or MPSL teams of yore. They don't realize just how good this competition is, the USL. It's a good standard
of
soccer.
You've said for years, we're two designated players away from being MLS quality.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, we talked to Joey about it last week. There's a lot of guys that he played with in MLS who aren't much better than are in USL. I mean, Joey could be on an MLS roster right now if he was in the right, you know, system. These players aren't that far away.
No, not at all. And we saw that. Hell, we saw it Saturday.
Yeah.
Because we're going up against some MLS players. Yeah. Some guys that have intentions of being MLS players that are in a system that will make them MLS players.
Yeah.
And we won 2-0.
There you go.
I'll take that every goddamn Saturday.
That's proof.
Proof is in the pudding. Anything else?
No. Just let's go against Saturday, guys. Let's do it. We're a good team. Let's go get 3 points.
Breakfast for dinner?
Yeah, come to the tailgate, have a few beers and some breakfast for dinner.
Pancakes. Master of karate and friendship for everyone. Dead men. Find your own tonight, men.